LJs are an R&B group from Canton, Ohio, formed in 1958, consisting of Eddie LaVert, Walter Williams, and Eric Grant. The OJs made their first chart appearance in 1963, reaching their greatest level of success in the 1970s. Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff, a team of producers and songwriters, signed them to the Philadelphia International Record Label in 1972. The OJs soon emerged at the forefront of Philadelphia soul with Backstabbers. Numerous other hits followed throughout the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and they were inducted in the Vocal Group Hall of Fame in 2004 and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2005. My name is Dee Duane, and I had the fortunate opportunity to interview and share a laugh or two with Eddie LaVert as he discussed the OJ's past, present, and future.
Hello.
Hi, Eddie, please.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. You sound good. You sound great.
Well, I woke up this morning, which is really great.
Praise God, huh?
That's right.
I'm telling you, these days, man, I'm telling you.
It's hard. Yeah, man, you never know what you're going to get.
I'll go ahead and get started here. I understand that the group was formed in 1958 in Canton, Ohio, and was named after DJ Eddie OJ. Did Mr. OJ play a big part in getting the group established?
Yeah, absolutely. The way we ended up with his name was that we started recording at King Records down in Cincinnati, James Brown old label, and we did a song that we wrote called Lonely Rain. And they started playing it up in Cleveland, and they got a great response. So we went up there to do a record off, and that's where we met Eddie OJ. And he took us under his wings. He says, well, I'm going to help you guys out. He couldn't be a manager, so he let his wife manage us so he could direct the traffic, if you get my meaning. Then he took us to Detroit to meet with Berry Gordy, and he felt that Berry Gordy wanted too much. So he took us around the corner from Berry to his wife, his ex-wife, Peaches. Her name was Thelma Gordy. And we signed a recording contract with her. We did a record with Norman Whitfield and Edwin Starr. And the record came out pretty good, and they wanted to put it out. And at the time, we were calling ourselves the Mascots. That's the name that Sid Nathan from King Records had given us.
Right.
And so nobody liked that name because we always felt like we were dogs with leash on our and so we wanted to change the name of the group. We couldn't come up with anything that we liked. And so Eddie OJ says, well, in the meantime, we'll just call them the OJs. And we'll change it later when we think of something else. And voila, we never thought of anything else.
Wow, I didn't know that you guys were with King Records at one time. Did you ever work with James Brown?
Always. We did a lot of work with him in his early days when he had our Please, Please, and If You Leave Me, and all that stuff. Uh-huh. His early stuff. A lot of his early stuff when he was just get going, we were doing a lot of dates with him. In fact, I was probably the only person that he let call. I didn't have to call him Mr. Brown. I could call him James. But he had a thing that he made everybody call him Mr. Brown.
Right.
All except me. He would let me call him James. And I think that was because we were both black.
Now, you know, coming from Ohio, how did you guys end up in Philadelphia?
Now, that was through the grace of God and also the help of the Intruders. The Intruders, who were with Gamble and Huff originally, they started out with them, and they had this song, Cowboys the Girl. So yeah. We were playing, we had out Sweet, I'll Be Sweeter Tomorrow, and Look Over Your Shoulder, our early stuff that we did with with Rocky G up in New York.
Uh-huh.
And so we were playing the Apollo, and the Intruders were on the show, and we were on the show, and Gamble and Huff came up to see them. And they, in turn, introduced us to Gamble and Huff. Gamble and Huff wanted to see us do a full show before they made a commitment. So we went back home, and they came down to Akron, Ohio, and watched us in a club, and they saw us do a full show, and they wanted to sign us to their Neptune label at that time, which was distributed by Chess Records, by Leonard Chess. And so we made an agreement then and signed up with them, and we did those records like Looky Looky, One Night Affair, and Deeper in Love. But then Leonard Chess died, and the whole deal fell through. So Gamble and Huff started a new deal with CBS and Clive Davis, and so they called us back, and the rest is history.
Wow. Yeah, because in 1972, when you guys released the Backstabber album, that was the first million-selling record, huh?
Yeah, and we had been in the business at least... we had been around for at least 32 years.
Right.
And we were, you know, it was like you get to wondering after you've been around that long whether you're doing the right thing or not. Mm-hmm. And when we went back to Philly and did the Backstabbers and the Love Train, we automatically knew that those songs had something special about them. And we knew that we were, you know... And what really stamped it was we were in Wyoming somewhere on our way to the West Coast, and a record came on the radio, and it came to do. I said, "Where have we heard that before?" And it came, "What we're doing?" Smiling in your face,
right.
And we knew we were in the middle of nowhere. And we knew this was
going
to be a big record.
Smiling faces, sometimes
dance.
You guys worked long and hard for that success. But in 1972, that was a great time to be the OJs, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, because, you know, we before that, we were somewhat as we did beach music, they called it. We had a record called, top 40 record called Lonely Drifter, another top 40 record called Lipstick Traces. And what we were doing, we were doing a lot of dates with the Beach Boys, the Dave Clark Five, Sonny and Cher. In fact, we were probably what you might call pop before we became R&B.
Uh-huh.
And that way we ran into people like Wayne Martindale, Casey Kasem, Bob Eubanks. Then we started that circle. We were working a lot with a lot of white crossover acts.
Right. Wow. Now, you know what? I used to wear out that 1973 Ship Ahoy album. What would you say is your favorite two OJ albums?
Well, I'd have to say the Backstabbers album, and that album, the one with Family Reunion on it.
You know, your songs have stood the test of time, Eddie. Do you still enjoy performing them?
Absolutely. What is so impactful for me, and so what impresses me so, is that the reaction of the people. They still react to those songs like they are just out today.
Yeah.
They still react to those songs like, I just heard it, this is on the radio right now, and I love it, and they get up and they dance around, old folks, young folks, and you know we're serving three generations of people. We got the people our age, and their children, and then their children.
Yeah.
And then now their children's children.
Wow. You know, music stands the test of time, doesn't it?
Absolutely, man. You know, if you got something that lives with people from day to day and lives in their home and lives with something that has hit their heart and they pass it on to the rest of their family, that's what you call real music.
Now, you guys have been together since 1958. That sure is a long time, yet I understand that your reason...
Yeah, you're telling me.
but I understand that your recent album, The Last Word, will be the last album for the OJs. Is that right?
Well, you know, unless there's a big demand, you know, you say to yourself, how much longer? And see, it's turned into a young people's game now. You know, with the streaming and the social media, you know, it's like it's hard for people our age to get a young following, because what kid do you know is going to be screaming, "Oh, I love you, Eddie"? I'm too old for that anymore.
I understand. Well, I tell you what, though, I tell you, us old folks, we love music too, okay? And we love the OJs. We love the OJs.
Yeah, but you old people, y'all don't go to social media. No, y'all don't do no streaming. Y'all.
Yeah, you're right. You are right.
So it's like how do I get to you?
Exactly.
Other than, and see, and radio has lost its meaning, period.
Uh-huh.
You know, because now, you know, it's like I say, it's about streaming and followers. It's not about how many records you sell anymore.
Right.
It's more so a popularity contest.
Right.
How many followers you can get, how many views you can get. If you can get a million views, you're considered relevant.
I
if you can't, then you're irrelevant.
I understand. Things have changed quite a bit, haven't they?
Absolutely. And it's not a bad thing, because, you know, you got to remember the world keeps turning. And so everything has its day. And,
uh-huh.
And for us to even be around now and able to sell hard tickets and get people to come out and see us, I think that's a blessing within itself.
Sure it is. Absolutely.
Here's one of my favorite songs from the OJ's most recent album, The Last Word. It's titled 68 Summer Nights. Check it out.
Was the best time of my life. All night.
Now, did I see, Eddie, on the album that Betty Wright also worked on the album?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Miss B. Wright. We've been knowing her a long time. She's quite the entrepreneur.
Uh-huh.
She works with Jennifer Lopez. She works with Bruno Mars. She works with all of those young artists. She even teaches some of them how to read, how to do their stuff in Spanish. Betty is a very, she's an entrepreneurial person. She does a lot of things in the music business. And she works with Rihanna. She works with Beyonce. She does a lot of things.
I did not know that. I did not know that.
She's probably a guru to a lot of these young kids.
Wow.
She's teaching them how to get into the business. And some of those, that's why you got J-Lo and Rihanna and Beyonce. That's why they're so good. Because they have this old head back there teaching them how to do it.
Wonderful. I had no idea. You know, I did notice that it looks like you guys have a live in New York PBS special coming out on DVD.
Yeah, it's out now as we speak. We did it in Staten Island on the, I can't even remember the date, but I know it was cold. But anyway, we did it in conjunction with the release of the Last Word album.
Uh-huh.
And PBS has since then, they've done the special. They've shown it about two or three times already on PBS. They've also going to do it. It's going to be on DVD and whatever. And then they're going to have it on, they're going to have a live album also that you can get.
Uh-huh. Well, that's wonderful. I'll have to check into that some more. And I want to see that live in New York special. I want to see that.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. You know, for some old guys, it's pretty good. We're not doing no splits, though.
You guys have had 9 platinum albums and 10 number one hits. Is there anything else on the list that you've yet to achieve?
Wow. The only thing, we've received Grammy Awards for our songs, but we have never received a Grammy for ourselves.
Uh-huh.
And we have yet to get a star on the Walk of Fame in Hollywood. But see, I find out that you can buy that. You know what I'm saying? So, hey.
Say what? Well, you can buy that.
Oh, you can buy that.
I had no idea.
A lot of people buy that. And, you know, and so until we're too cheap to go and buy it, you know.
Uh-huh.
We're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But, you know, being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is almost like a popularity contest also. I guess that's what it really is. But, you know, people like Barry White and other people that have done great music are not in. But you got Bobby Brown is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. How did that happen?
I'll bet you Bobby Brown's asking the same question. How in the hell did that
happen? No, but I just wonder, how did he get in there before Barry White?
Okay.
You know, Barry White's music has touched a whole gamut of people.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Black or white. But yet still, he's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Janet Jackson just got in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Did he? Okay. Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? But how does that happen?
Right.
I mean, I can understand her brother being in there.
Uh-huh.
You know, I can understand. Maybe I can understand her being in it because she's had some great product.
Right.
But I think it's really come down to a popularity contest. If you're not popular, you can't get in there.
Well, I do understand that in October, you will be inducted into the Philadelphia Music Walk of Fame, huh?
Yeah. Now, that's a great achievement because, you're talking about people that have embraced us, and we're not from Philly, but they have embraced us and treated us like their own. And, we spent so much time there. I do really feel like it's a second home for me because I have friends there. I have relationships that have been there for years. And I think this is a great honor. I mean, and to be included with people like Gambling Up and all the rest of the guys like Teddy and Billy Paul and the Intruders, the Delphonics, they made a lot of great music that affected the whole world, infected the whole world, I'm going to put it that way. And I think just to be a part of that is going to be a great day for me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, that wraps it up, Eddie. I sure appreciate it. See, I told you, quick and painless, quick and painless.
I like you, man.
I've liked you guys for years, man. Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
I'm a man of my word. Hey, listen, I want to thank you so much, Eddie, you and the group, for many years of great music and for taking the time for this interview. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, man. If people like yourself don't support us, then I don't think our longevity would be as long as it's been.
Wow.
And for you, I hope it's the same thing. I hope that the music has brought you some happiness and that it still brings you happiness when you hear that music. I hope it has something special in your heart.
Many thanks to Eddie Levert for the interview and to the OJs for many years of great music. Also, thank you to Lori Lanarsian of Rogers & Cowan for their assistance and support of the Gumbo Mix. And, of course, thank you to all of our listeners who enjoy us on 90.7 KSCR and thegumbomix.com. Thank you so much.